The following is a presentation of Remnant. I am reaching from the depths of my soul. Hear me pleading. I'm a child, I'm a poor, I am needed. To the throne of your virtue, believing.
Hi, this is Jerry Godsey, co-pastor of Remnant. Remnant was begun with one goal, to touch people with God's incredible love. My prayer is that this study will comfort you, challenge you, and bring you one step closer to being the person God wants you to be. If this study is helpful or if you need more information, please drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
We're going to talk about God's top 10 list. Now, when you first bring up the idea of 10 commandments, everybody says, come on, the 10 commandments. Everybody knows the 10 commandments. Do you? Can you rattle off all 10 commandments? Yeah, we may get 4 or 5. And usually we get the ones we don't break. We seem to forget the ones we break. I don't know why that is. Yeah, I do. It's because we're in nature. Okay. So here's the bottom line of the 10 commandments. The bottom line of the 10 commandments is, this is what God wants you to do. This is how God wants you to live. And I was kind of trying to find a way, and by the way, the title for today's message is really taken from a statement that started this whole series. The title of today is Don't You Believe It, because Ted Turner, the former head of the CNN, I think he sold CNN, which was probably good for CNN, and the head of the Atlanta Braves, which I'm not a big Atlanta Braves fan, Dodgers. Anyway, Ted Turner said that The Ten Commandments have no relevance to today's world. So he came up with a list of suggestions. And let me tell you something. Don't believe it. Don't you believe that the Ten Commandments don't apply to your life today? Because they very much do. So let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. There are a lot of people that think that serving God is just God ordering us around. That it's just God pushing us around. And, you know, when you first come to Christ, you may feel that way. But then what you notice is that as you are more obedient, as you're obedient over a longer period, you realize it's got nothing about being ordered around. It's got everything out of serving out of love. And we follow the Ten Commandments not because, you know, we're afraid that God's going to strike us dead if we don't. We follow the Ten Commandments because we believe that's what makes our life better. We believe that's what God has put in us to make our life better. So let's look at them. Exodus chapter 20, starting verses 1 through 17. This is where we're going to be for the next few weeks. And God spoke all these words. This is God speaking. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me, keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember that next time you feel tempted to type OMG. Ooh, stepped on some toes. I'm just letting that soak in for a second. We're not even going to talk about that today. That's just part of what. Then we had the one kid from our church that put OMFG. And then I asked him, what's the F stand for? Because I know what the F stands for. And he says, no, freaking. I said, you need to think about that. If I was God, I would have turned him into a charcoal briquette right then. All right. Think about that for a few minutes. There's your freaking. All right. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son, your daughter, male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother. I see parents elbowing teenagers. So that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. As an aside, honor your father and mother so that you may live long. And you know why that is? It's because that will keep your parents from killing you. Just threw that in. You shall not murder. Husbands, wives. You shall not commit adultery. Husbands, wives. Usually adultery leads to murder. Okay, anyway. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. In other words, keep your mitts off of your neighbor and all of his stuff. Am I too loud? I'm booming. All right. Now, first of all, the Ten Commandments were given by God. He spoke them to the people. And then he wrote them down on tablets. And then Moses got mad because he went to go get tablets and he came back and found them, you know, cavorting around some idol or something, so he broke the tablets. I don't know why he broke God's stuff. You know, hey, Moses, you want to break stuff? Break your own stuff. But he broke God's stuff. So God wrote them again. You know, they're not, these commandments are not God's way of limiting your life. And that's the kind of the way we look at it, isn't it? We look at it like God saying, okay, don't do this, don't do this, don't have fun. But really, aren't these just pretty good rules? I mean, like the whole do not murder thing, that's a good rule. And do not steal. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, if everybody in the world followed the Ten Commandments, I wouldn't have a job. There would be no crimes for us to go out on. All of our overtime would go away, Joanna. Think about it. And these are just common sense rules. Now, can you imagine living in a life without rules? Imagine living in a place where there are no stop signs, there are no speed limits, where everybody can drive any way they want, on any side of the road they want. It might be like driving Mexicali. I'm not... The couple of times I've been down there, I thought, no, this is crazy. This is not going to work. Did you know that the Ten Commandments are the only things that Christians, Jews, and Muslims all agree on? The basics are there in every one of those religions. Now, before you think that the Ten Commandments are just Old Testament, Jesus, and this is where we're going to spend most of today, Jesus gave them a stamp of approval in Matthew chapter 22. Let's look at that. A lawyer came to him, a lawyer. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Now over the next few weeks, we're going to look at each one of these Ten Commandments. But I will tell you that the first four commandments all deal with God. Our relationship with God, and the other six reveal or talk about our relationship with each other. So they're all there. And that Jesus is saying, hey, here they all are. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors yourself. We could pray and go home right now. And some of you wish I would, but we're not gonna. When the world thinks of Christianity, they think of a list of rules of do's and don'ts. They did a survey. Now, I grew up in the Assemblies of God. The Assemblies of God was a very, very conservative movement for a long time. My grandfather never saw a movie in a theater. My uncle has never seen a movie in a theater. Thought it was a sin. In fact, they did a thing once where they asked all these teenagers at Assemblies of God camp in the 70s, what are the basic tenets of the Assemblies of God? What do the Assemblies of God believe? They didn't talk about virgin birth. They didn't talk about salvation. They said, don't drink, don't smoke, don't go to movies, and don't dance. That was what they believed were the basics of our faith. Now, that's a problem, because that's not the basics of our faith. In fact, a lot of that stuff you're not going to find. You're not going to find a Bible verse that says, yea, verily, thou shalt not go to the movies. It's not there. And so we have a tendency to kind of add all of these things on. We have a tendency to make all of these things sound like their scripture. If you were to ask 100 people how many of them thought that cleanliness is next to godliness is in the Bible, over half of them would say, oh yeah, that's Bible. It's not the Bible. If you were to ask people, do not smoke is in the Bible, there'd be people who would say, yeah. And you could say all kinds of things around it, but the problem is we add in all of this stuff. And what Jesus is saying is, look, here's these Ten Commandments. Let's boil them down to two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors yourself. That's it. It all comes to that. When I was growing up, they didn't believe in playing cards. I'm not talking about poker. I'm talking about solitaire. Go fish. Honest goodness, I was taught in Sunday school, go fish was not a godly game. Because it involved cards. Wow. There are denominations that have taught that it's a sin to drink anything with caffeine. Where'd you get that? Not in the Bible. Others said it's a sin to eat certain kinds of meat. Or you can eat certain kinds of meats, but not on certain days. Because the Lord said, yea, verily, thou shalt not eat meat on Friday. Nope. I remember as a kid, knowing that on Friday at school, we were going to have fish sticks. Every day in school, we had fish sticks. Because that was the rule. There are some denominations that still teach women should only wear dresses. Or if they wear pants, they should zip up on the side. Where, ladies, can you even buy pants that zip up on the side still? Or in the back? Now, as a guy, I don't understand the zipper in the back thing. That just looks like a bad invitation for people to see your underwear. That's all I think of. When I was a kid, my mom wore pants with zipper on the side. Now, I had no idea she was holy. I thought she just was wearing pants that she bought at Mode O'Day. That was the chubby lady shop where my mom shopped. The problem is we have a tendency to focus in on the minors instead of the majors. I like the story of the lady who went to a store and she bought a parrot. She came back 2 days later and she said, that parrot doesn't talk. He said, well, did you get him a slide? Parrots love slides. So she bought him a slide. She came back a couple of days later. She said, the parrot doesn't talk. He said, well, did you get him a mirror? Parrots love mirrors. So she got him a mirror. She came back a couple of days later. Hey, the parrot doesn't talk. He said, what about a swing? Parrots love swings. She bought him a swing. The next, 2 days later, she came back. She said, the parrot's dead. He said, I can't figure that out. Did he ever talk? She said, yeah, right before he died. He said in a real weak voice, don't they sell food at that store? It's easy for us to get caught up in all the, ouch. It's easy for us to trip over monitors. It's easy for us to get caught up in all the little stuff, isn't it? Oh, the parrot needs a swing. He needs a mirror. No, the parrot needs food. He's starving to death. Why won't he talk? He's got nothing to say to you. You won't feed him. The main thing is the main thing. And that's what we have to remember. We get so caught up in all this other stuff. And that's why I like Remnant so much, because I tell you, we just don't get caught up in the minors like that. You want to wear shorts to Remnant? Wear shorts. You want to wear a dress to Remnant? Wear a dress. Because we're not going to judge you by what you're wearing. We're going to talk to you about what God's doing in your heart. And let me tell you something. You know, and somebody asked me, well, when you tell people that, don't you worry that they're going to wear something, you know, like they shouldn't wear? Well, I don't know what that would be. You show up in like a string bikini or something, we could maybe, I don't know, take you aside and say, you know, you can sit over there. I don't know. I don't know how we'll deal with that. You know, here's the thing I know. I know that if you truly love God, you're going to be in His house. And you're not going to do anything that draws attention to yourself. So I don't really worry about you showing up in a string bikini. Or me in Speedos. Although on a day like today, all right, so let's go back to the beginning of this, Matthew 22:36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now here's the thing. He was trying to catch Jesus, and they did this all the time. Hey, all right, because the Jews, you think we've made it bad. You know, we talk about zipper and all this stuff. The Jews had, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of the Jews had made being a follower almost impossible. You had all of these rules and you had to count how many steps you took on the Sabbath. Now here's what I don't know. If you're only supposed to take 20 steps or whatever it was, and you get to 19 and you're not home yet, do you just have to stand there the rest of the day? What are you doing? I can't go anywhere. Till sundown. It's going to be a long, hot day, brother. Is that really what God had in mind when he said, honor the Sabbath? They had all these convoluted rules and all these regulations, and it seemed like no matter what you did, you could trip up and make a mistake. It's almost like golf. Golf has all these rules. They had one of the guys on, and somebody called in on this. I don't know who called in on this. Well, a golfer put a towel down and put his knee on the towel before he did something, and you can't do that. And some guy called and said, he just broke the rules. Well, first of all, you're a big tattletale. Second of all, why does golf care that you put your knee on a towel so you don't get your pants leg wet? So they ask him, all right, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And they're out there standing there watching, all right, what's he going to pick? What's he going to pick? Because whatever he picks, he's going to be wrong. Right? If he says, don't eat pork and have fish sticks on Friday, oh, but what about this one? What about this one? What about this one? And if he says, oh, wait a second, man, I have to be clean shaven. I grew up thinking that you couldn't have a beard in church. You better be glad I have a beard. Because I look like a Cabbage Patch doll with that one. It's an ugly, scary Cabbage Patch doll, but a Cabbage Patch doll nonetheless. Or maybe he's going to say you have to wear your zippers on the side. Or maybe he's going to say that you have to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I used to preach that. But look what Jesus said, verse 37. No, he says it's pretty basic. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second's like it, love your neighbors yourself. All of the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. Here's what Jesus said. If you want to be a Christian, if you want to be a follower of Christ, if you really want to do the right thing, do these two things. It's all there. You really want to live the Christian life, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. It's all there. The central point of Christianity is right there. St. Augustine summed it up best when he said, love God and do as you please. And everybody says, all right, wait a minute. I like that. I love God, and I'm going to do what I want. No. Notice that love God came first. Love God and do as you please. Because if you love God, you're not going to want to do anything to hurt him. I do things for my wife because I love her, and I don't do things because I don't want to hurt her. There are things that I do solely because I love her, like dishes. It sounds silly, but we were talking about the other day. She doesn't like to do dishes. I don't like to put them away. So she puts them away, I do them. I like doing laundry. Neither one of us like hanging up the clothes, so we're in trouble there. But do you think that if I lived alone, I would give a rip about dishes? I'd be eating out a lot and using paper plates and plastic spoons. No, we're supposed to love God fully. And if we love God fully, all of this stuff will come along. So I'm going to give you some ways to love God fully. And that's really what we're going to talk about today, is loving God fully. First thing you got to do is be loyal to God. In the marriage ceremony, the traditional marriage ceremony, the husband and wife repeating their vows, they say this, forsaking all others, do you pledge to give yourself to only to her or only to him, as long as you both shall live? The correct answer is, I do. Now, we had a lady in our church in Imperial that told my uncle, she said, look, I want you to leave out that whole obey thing. He said, okay, I'll leave out obey if he can leave out the keep yourself only to her. She said, leave the obey in. That's a basic part of the vows, isn't it? I promise that I'm going to be with you and you only until I die. Now, I'm praying that you die soon. No, that's not the way it goes. You give your heart to somebody, you give it to them. Lock, stock, and barrel. You give them loyalty. I am loyal to my wife. My wife is loyal to me. Why? Because we love each other. Because we made a commitment to do that. That's important. And it's the same thing with God. If you want to follow Christ, you've got to be loyal to God. You become a Christian, you're basically saying, I belong to you, Lord. And everything else in this world that tries to take me away, I'm going to forsake. God, I'm going to follow you. I want to be a person after your own heart, and I'm going to get rid of everything that keeps me from you. Now, a lot of us need to start taking some stock about what keeps us from God. See, when you start telling me that you can't serve God because of this, or you can't follow God because of this thing in your life, or that thing in your life, my basic answer is, well, you need to start getting rid of those things. And that's hard. You get to a certain place and you enjoy certain things, and then you start letting those certain things keep you from God? Are they really worth it? In fact, I put it this way. If you want to grow in your love for God, give Him your heart. Forsaking all other things, pledge yourself only to Him. Make a commitment to be loyal. How loyal are you to God? I want you to think about this last week. See, and this is where the rubber meets the road. We can all say in church, oh, I'm very loyal to God, Jerry. Pastor Jerry, yes, barely. I'm very loyal to God. For some reason we have to talk that way when we're being holy. And God's like, shut up. Or if He's not, I am. How loyal are you to God? So here's the way to answer that question. When you had a choice this week to sin or not sin, what'd you choose? When you had a choice to take a course that took you further away from God or to go closer to Him, what'd you do? There's your answer to how loyal you are to God. See, and we are so quick to talk about Judas. Oh, Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. Bad Judas. Don't we serve Him out? Don't we sell God out for a whole lot less than that? We sell, you know, Jesus died on the cross for us. We sell Him out for a good time, for an opportunity to look cool, for a lot less than 30 pieces of silver. Second thing, cultivate your spiritual life. We just talked about our relationship to God being like a marriage, but let's go even further. What are the signs of a great marriage? A big house? Fancy car? Six-figure income? A lot of kids? Usually not a lot of kids. See, if somebody does all of that, does that mean they're happily married? No. And I've told you this before. My grandparents went to visit a lady that was in our church in Los Angeles when I was a kid. And they went to her house, and she lived in the Brentwood section of Los Angeles. Beautiful home. $1 million-plus homes. My grandmother walked in, and she told the lady, she said, you have a beautiful home. And she said, it's not a home. It's a house. There's a difference, isn't there? A house is a place you live. A home is where you're accepted. A home is where you're loved. A home is a community. She just lived in a nice house. You know, you look at married couples and you see them, and the married couples that have been married 10, 20, 30 years. What's different about them? Well, still hold hands. I love seeing those older couples in the mall walking along holding hands. I tell Annette, that's going to be you and me. We'll be married 30 years in September. She's still my best friend. There's nobody I'd rather be with than her. I don't need a night out with the guys. I know a lot of guys. I'd rather spend time with her. She's a lot prettier and a better kisser. I'm assuming. I don't know for sure, but thought I better clear that up. It's not like I'm practicing. All right, you want to be a friend? We've got to practice this. You know, if you're really happily married, there's that intangible something. There's that something. And if you don't have it, you got to cultivate it. I tell young married couples all the time, don't get caught up in doing all the stuff. Just be together. When I was a youth pastor, kids would ask me, what's the best first date? Miniature golf. Miniature golf is the absolute best first date. Why? Because you're not like sitting in a movie theater where you got to be quiet. You got nothing to do but talk and make fun of each other because they can't putt. And commiserate with each other over the clown's mouth, the stupid clown's mouth. Or bowl or something like that where you have to just be with each other. Because let me tell you something, that's what marriage is. Marriage is being together. That's what living the Christian life is. It's being with Jesus. It's being with God. It's cultivating that time with Him. It's being part of a relationship with Him. Lou said today that there's a Facebook thing that she saw that she said, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. And that's true. I'm not a religious guy. People tell me that at work. Well, I know you're a religious guy. I'm not. I'm not a religious guy. A religious guy would not wear shorts to church. Because a religious guy has all these lists of do's and don'ts. No. I'm a guy who has a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm the guy who has a relationship with somebody who died on a cross to save my soul. I'm a guy who has decided he is going to follow somebody that I will never be as great as. That's what I am. And in fact, if you look at my Facebook or any of the profiles I put, I don't use the word Christian because Christian, unfortunately, has been kind of watered down. I use the term Christ follower. I am a Christ follower. I want to follow in His footsteps. I want to be like Him. I want to be as close to Him as I can. That's what we're talking about here. That's loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Cultivate your spiritual life. How did you get to know somebody? You spent time with them. I've told you this before. It's so embarrassing. When Lynn and I were dating, we would write these mushy notes to each other. Our lives are going to be so happy. We were so stupid. You know, and I was in college, and I would keep those in my books when I'm supposed to be studying. And I would open those cards up, and I would look at them, and man, I just got this warm, fuzzy feeling all inside. But that's how we got to know each other. We cultivated that relationship. We spent time with each other. We would call. We never did that. You hang up first. No, you hang up first. We never did that. We didn't do that, did we? Please. I have to turn in my man card if we did that. But we spent time. And even now, we spend time with each other. We still. How's your day? We go to lunch every day, just about. If you want to find us, we're usually at the mall at lunch, eating Chinese food. Once in a while, we rock it up and change something different. But for the most part, Lynette and I eat lunch every day together, and we're spoiled. But why wouldn't I want to spend time with my best friend? See, that's why when you tell me that you don't have time to read your Bible, I wonder, well, why are you letting something come between you and your best friend? You tell me that you don't pray, I just want to know why you aren't cultivating that time with God. How do you get to know God? You learn to cultivate that time with Him. I put it this way. You want to love God with all that you are? Cultivate your spiritual life. Spend time alone with Him. Driving to work. Anytime you're in the car, spend time with God. Listen to music, Christian music, something that builds you up. There's no reason for us not to spend time with God. Third thing, control your mental diet. Jesus said we're to love God with all of our mind. All of our mind. And I know a lot of people that have given God their heart but not their mind. They still think about things the same way they always did. They still think of sin the same way they did. If you ask them what a good time was, it's still going to be the good times they had before they came to know Christ. Well, that's a problem. If your idea of a good time is what the world says is a good time, that's an issue. Because there needs to be a change in us. What does the Bible say? See, we're real good about kind of forgetting what the Bible tells us. You know, and the Bible doesn't say don't drink. I can't drink personally because it's where I came from. There were some issues for me early, so I can't drink. Because for me, it's like going back into the hole God dug me out of. I know Christians that can have a glass of wine or a beer with their dinner. And the Bible doesn't say not to. The Bible says not to get drunk. So if you're molared and you can't walk right and you're puking in the backyard, passed out, God's got an issue with that. See, that's one of those places where you've bought into what the world says and you totally disagreed with what God says. And let me tell you something. In the end, you're going to do what God says. You're going to have to go with what God says because he's the one that says, yay or nay about getting into heaven. See, so you've got to control your mental diet. What goes into your brain? The computer term, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put in is going to come back out. Whatever you fill your brain up with is going to come back out. Matthew 5, 27 to 28 says, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Here's the thing. Whatever goes into your head is going to come out eventually. It's not like you're walking down the street. And we've said this before. It's not like you're walking down the street and all of a sudden you committed adultery. Well, I don't know what happened. I was going to Circle K to get a Slurpee and ended up committing adultery. Craziest thing. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. Come on. It started with that first look. And my grandpa used to say, the first look's free, the second one costs you everything. You see that pretty person, male or female, and you say, attractive person. It's fine. Then you start, you're making whatever noises it is you make. And you start accidentally bumping into them at work. Oh, I just happened to be on this your side of the building. Just thought I'd say hi. Hi. And then you start cultivating that relationship and you sin. See, because it starts in your heart. It starts in your mind. And then it gets acted out through your body. Don't tell me you accidentally committed adultery. You didn't accidentally. You tried. Look at Matthew 5, 21 through 24. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raka, or you fool, is answerable to the court. Anyone who says fool will be danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. This is what God wants. God says, hey, you don't get a free pass here. You can't walk around talking about how you hate somebody. I've said it at work, and then God's convicted me. Like, God, I can't say that. I don't really mean I hate them, but I think it. They make me mad, and I hate that guy. Really? Is he worth going to hell over? No. That'd give him too much satisfaction. See, it's not enough just not to murder. You need to clean up your heart. You've got to clean up your mental diet. What goes into your brain comes out through your actions. If you want to grow in your love for God, control your mental diet. Love him with all your mind. And then finally, keep doing it. Jesus said we're supposed to love God with all our strength. That means keep trying no matter what. Excuse me. Let me tell you something. If you fall, get up. You know I love football. Coach football. And I know that the knock on certain players is that if you hit them hard, they won't get back up. That is the worst thing that can be said about a football player. If you hit him hard, he won't come back. I've seen guys with a ton of talent and no heart. We used to call them Tin Man. Remember the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz? No heart. No heart. And so I would get my linebackers and I would tell them, every chance you get, you take a shot at this guy. Hit him hard, make it hurt. And you don't know, well, that's not very Christian. It's not Christian, it's football. I'll tell him, hit him. Make him know you were there. Help him up. Tell him I'll be back next play. And they would. And we'd have guys that say, you know what, coach, I think I'm hurt. And you see him on the sideline with the hood up. They're sitting there on the bench. And you think, you're toast, baby. We got your number. And let me tell you something. Coaches watch game film, and they see that happen and happen and happen. Every coach that ever played that kid after that told their guys the same thing. Hit him hard, hit him often. Because if I could take your heart away, you're not going to play. Let me tell you something. The devil comes at us, and he puts these things in front of us, and we stub our toes, and we fall, and we sin. We sin. You sin. I sin. We all sin. And if every time you sin, you just throw your hands up and say, oh, God, I can't do it. I can never be a Christian. I just can't. Oh, God, I'm sorry. God says, you know what? Maybe you ought to just dust off your britches and get up. Maybe you ought to get up and try again. Maybe you ought to get up. That's why we call it a Christian walk, because you're learning to walk. You ever see a kid learn to walk? It's hilarious. They got that whole Frankenstein thing going on. Right? And they fall. That's why they wear diapers. I firmly believe that's why God didn't let us be born potty trained. We need that soft landing when we fall. Every now and then they fall and hit their head on furniture. That's not good. My kids got scarred up on a regular basis from falling and hitting. Was it Isaac or Critter that fell and hit his head on the point of a coffee table, man? Boom, right in the back of his head. I told my wife, he's never going to be right. And I was right. He's not right. No. Look, you got to keep doing this. There's no way you can love God as much as you can if you give up every time you sin. In fact, I found a video, and you're going to laugh at first, but I want you to listen to the words. All right. Now, I will tell you, first of all, that if you try and hit the notes that guy hit, you will get a brain aneurysm. That's really, really high. But isn't that a great thought? When's the last time you told God that? I love you more today than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. And the next day, I love you more today than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. Keep doing it. You don't have to wear those suits or do that little dance thing. It's the only dance I can do, by the way. I love you more today than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. Why? Because I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep loving you. I'm going to keep growing. I'm going to keep getting close to you. I'm going to keep doing all the things I have to do to be worthy of being called a Christ follower. The Ten Commandments all flows into this one thing right here. It all flows into this. God, I love you more today than yesterday. I'm more obedient today than I was yesterday. But I'm not as obedient today as I will be tomorrow. Am I going to stub my toe along the way? Yep. But I'm going to love you more today than yesterday and the day before. It's so simple. But that's the way it wants. That's the way God wants it. I am reaching from
the depths of the soul. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.